Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth, and today we have on the line Zach Seckler. He's one of the founders of Adherent Apologetics. You can find him on adherentapologetics.com. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm good, William. I hope you're doing well, too. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, it's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for taking time. I know you're over in Lynchburg. You just started school. You started at Liberty a little bit ago, and wish you the best of luck in your studies. I know you have a heavy course load, like you just mentioned, off the air. But So tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get started in apologetics? What got you interested in that?
Okay, yeah, I can definitely go into that. So I just brief family background. I grew up in State College, Pennsylvania, raised in a Christian household, you know, just kind of that life. And then it was the summer of 2017 when a friend of mine who just graduated high school, who was actually going to Liberty, passed away in a car accident in, I believe it was late June of 2017. And then so that kind of got me thinking. And then a couple months later, the principal of our school, who I started to become close to, she also passed away very suddenly, very quickly. It wasn't expected at all. So after their passings, I just kind of had a lot of questions about my faith. I was like, what do I believe? Why? I don't want to believe that Christianity is true because I want it to be true. I want to know what's actually true, you know? I think that's the goal of everyone, to pursue the truth. So I started looking into those questions more, but I didn't really dive in too deep. And then I had to do a senior project for my high school to graduate. So this would have been last year, the summer of 2018. And I was trying to think about, you know, what would I want for a topic to be. It's a very heavy project, a lot of research, things like that. And I'm like, I still don't have answers to what is the truth about reality, you know, the world we live in. So I kind of said, you know, I'm going to use this project. I'm going to find out what the truth is. If Christianity is true, I'll be a Christian. If Islam is true, I'll be a Muslim. If God doesn't exist, I'll be an atheist, you know, kind of like that. So I said, I dived into that project and I was really amazed by the amount of reasons and evidences to believe that Christianity is true and that Jesus rose from the dead. And that kind of inspired me to start Adherent Apologetics.
That's fantastic. So for those listening, for those that maybe don't know, what is apologetics?
All right. Yeah. So I can go, first off, I'll just read a basic definition. So if you just Google apologetics, it'll say in the definition, reason arguments or writings in justification of something, typically a theory or religious doctrine. So I would say in short that apologetics is simply, in the Christian realm, defending the faith, giving reasons to believe in the faith. And then once an atheist will say, hey, I don't believe in Christianity because of X, that you can give a reason why it's still reasonable to have faith in Christianity.
That's awesome. That's one thing that drew me to the apologetics work as well, is that there's reasons out there for everything. So I know within Christianity, sometimes there is this resistance, if you will, to studying theology, studying apologetics. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can get into that a little bit. I think there's a couple factors in the why that is. So I think one of them is you look at the university scene, it's mostly dominated by atheist, skeptics, thinkers, you know? So I think that a lot of people, a lot of Christians might be actually just scared to look into these things because they don't want their faith to be challenged. I think a lot of Christians just are believing in Christianity because they want it to be true. That doesn't mean it's bad that they're a Christian. It just means that they don't have an intelligent faith. I think another factor is, sorry, I just lost my thought here for a second. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Oh, okay, here it is. So here are my other thoughts. I think that with apologetics, we have to be careful in how we articulate our faith once we get into apologetics. Because apologetics is very, and theology is very intellectual, which is not a bad thing at all. The Bible says to worship God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and with all of our minds. Right. But I think that often, not oftentimes, but it can be the case, and I think that's the perception from a lot of people outside the apologetics community is that we're just focused on the mind as apologists. We don't really love our God with our hearts and our souls. So I think that a lot of the times the pushback is because they don't want to lose the heart and soul, which is really just more of a generalization fallacy. But I think it's a lot of times when I look at when people say, oh, that's apologetics really isn't that important. I think that's most of, in some form, where that comes from.
So in your view, is it important for Christians to study apologetics? Do you think it's maybe left up to a few? What's your viewpoint? What's your viewpoint on that?
I think that everyone should have a basic grounding in why they believe what they believe. You know, I think that not everyone has to be super in depth, know everything. But I think everyone should take a basic, you know, apologetics course. Know, hey, here's a few arguments for the existence of God. Hey, here's a few historical reasons to believe that Jesus not only existed, but he probably rose from the dead. So I think that it's good to have a basic understanding. And then there should be a lot of resources for people that want to dive in further.
Okay. Excuse me. My whole family is getting over a cold.
All right.
So in the realm of apologetics, obviously we have the reasons for God, arguments for the existence of God. Recently, we followed each other on Twitter, and you've done a lot of work recently on YouTube, some of your articles on the existence of God. Mm-hmm. So sorry to put you on the spot. What's your favorite argument for the existence of God?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I've probably heard this one before, but my favorite argument is really the cumulative case for God's existence. There's not really, you know, we're not going to sit out here and say, look at one argument and say, help, there it is, there's God. These arguments point towards God, but they don't prove that God exists. You can, in the way that, you know, you can't materially find material evidence for an immaterial God. So I think that my favorite argument is the cumulative case, because I look at all these arguments and you put them all together and you say, what's more reasonable, God existing or God not existing? And I think by far it's much more probable that God exists. So the cumulative case.
Okay, very good. So in your work at it here in apologetics, like I said, you're growing your YouTube channel. You have a lot of good stuff on there. You have some big names on there, you know, Michael Brown, et cetera. How responsive are these guys to coming onto your program, discussing these issues? That makes sense?
Yeah, totally, yeah. I think that people have been very well responsive, you know. I think that people are up front, you know. I mean, I get these big names and I'll ask other big names, you know, and say, no, I don't have time. And it's like, okay, you know, you have to, the more people you ask, the more people that'll probably say yes. But I think one of the biggest things that actually really encouraged some of these big names that join, like Mike Winger or Dr. Michael Brown, was the Apologetics March Madness tournament I ran in March. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it brought some recognition to me and to adhere in apologetics. So it's kind of like, oh, I know that guy. He helped me grow. So I'll come on and help him out a little bit. So I think that was kind of the main thing that drew interest. But I think Christians often, they're just nice people. They want to help other Christians out when they're producing content. So I think by the grace of God, a lot of people just want to be friendly and help out.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's one thing I found in the community is everyone's just trying to help each other out, trying to, you know, get the word of Jesus out there, especially in this postmodern world. So what, in your work, like I said, you've done a lot. What has been some of the pushback that you've received?
Pushback? A lot. I could go on a lot. So I guess I'll just highlight on a few things. I'll talk about personally and then just kind of like with my work, my articles, videos, things like that. I think one of the most common things I see is people are like, you're crazy. There's no evidence for the existence of God, or like, you're just a Christian because that's where you grew up or that's how you grew up, things like that. So there's so many things like that that I really just have seen in comments. I'm going to try to engage more. I haven't been able to engage as much recently, but that's kind of what I've seen a lot. And then personally, I've seen a lot of people just say I'm too young. Like, I mean, I get that, you know, I'm 19 now. So it's not like I'm like this experienced veteran that knows everything, but I'm still going to pursue the truth and look at the truth, you know? Because the way I look at it is, let's say that an atheist is right, okay? I'd be glad to if they could show me I'm wrong, I'd be glad because they're helping me out and pointing me towards the truth. You see, it's not really about an age thing. It's about us working together to try to find out what is the truth, what corresponds to reality. And I think that hopefully most honest people would say that's their goal, is to just find what corresponds with reality.
You talk about age, and I think about Paul writing to Timothy. He was saying, "No, don't let anyone despise you because you're young." Mm-hmm. The truth has no discrimination on age. As long as you're pursuing it, you know, that's what it's about. So you said you haven't been able to engage, and it's understandable. You have a really heavy schedule right now. But what is in your opinion, the importance of responding in a genuine and loving way instead of just that emotional response, maybe when someone's pushing back?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that, first off, there's only so much you can do online. I think that a lot of people are just trying to engage you in a debate over something. And really, I mean, you can do that if you want to, but I don't think that's, especially in the online realm, it's really not going to be too beneficial too often. I think that when I see people comment online, what we need to try to do is speak towards their hearts. They may say, "Oh, there's no evidence for God." I'm like, "Well, I haven't responded to someone recently who said, I'd say, why do you believe that? You have to define what evidence is," things like that. So I think that a lot of times when we're responding to people, I think it's best to find people in our physical lives, you know, in reality, people we work with, we're around constantly, people that, because a lot of evangelism is done face to face. It's not really done as much online. So my best response is, try to find people you can talk to personally. And then when someone online is responding, you want to respond to someone online, I'd say try to give them general answers, answer their questions, but don't get engaged in this really long debate that it's really going to probably not benefit anyone when you're just really, I don't want to say wasting time, but it's probably going to be fruitless if it goes on and on and on and you make your points and they're just like, yeah, but like, it's just not going to be very fruitful.
So what do you do with trolls? Really blunt question. Because those anonymous Twitter trolls that just want to fight you at every, what do you do with them? Do you just ignore them or do you engage them for a little bit and then leave it alone?
It depends. If they're just being extremely rude and just attacking you personally, they're not really bringing any good questions or reasons. They're just there to be annoying. I typically just block them. I really try not to block people. But if they're just, there's no purpose in what they're saying, they're just trying to be rude or whatever, then I just block. But most of the time, I look at those things, and typically, I don't respond, because it's just kind of like, you know, it's not really an intellectual issue. They're not actually asking me a question and hoping I'll answer it for them. It's more them just trying to pick a fight, basically. So a lot of times, I'll just try to say like a short prayer, you know, like I pray for X. I hope that they can seek the truth with all their heart and find the truth. So that's kind of where I typically go. Sometimes I'll engage, but I try to stay away from those people that are just trying to pick those long back and forth, and they're not really trying to find the truth. They're just trying to say whatever they want to say, get their voice out.
You said something very important a second ago. Talk about prayer. How mm-hmm. it's important to pray for these people that are asking the questions. What is the role of prayer in apologetics work?
Sure. Well, I think that when we look at what's the goal, the big picture goal of apologetics? Well, I think it's to defend the faith and to point people towards the faith. And it's true. No one is going to become a Christian solely because they got destroyed in a debate and like, oh, shoot, he's right. It can be a part of it. It's like for someone like David Wood, it was a major part of his journey. But for most people, for all people, it's not just going to be an intellectual thing that brings them to the cross. So I think that we have to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them, because the Holy Spirit's a very important part in the role of bringing people to Christ. So I think that prayer is important because it's not just an intellectual issue. It's in the heart. And the heart isn't going to be really changed by apologetics. The mind might say, oh, okay, this is reasonable. I understand it. But you need the heart to be open to really accept Christ.
Amen. Well, Zach, I think you're taking a few minutes here on a Saturday just to talk about apologetics. It's always fun talking with, I'm in Arizona, you're in Virginia right now. Gotta love technology. But any parting words for the listeners? Where can we learn more about you?
Well, thanks. You can look me up. You can go to adherentapologetics.com. A lot of our more recent content's on YouTube. Just search Adherent Apologetics. We're on Twitter. Everything's just Adherent Apologetics. So if you want to find more about us, really any platform, just search that and you'll find us.
All right, Zach. Well, thank you very much, and you have a great weekend. God bless.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Have a great weekend yourself. God bless.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hello, this is International Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.